Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to the program. Gee, we're still on the air. Imagine that.
Mike Malloy's program is going to end.
Yeah, well, as usual, most of what you read in the right-wing blogosphere is dog snot, but I digress. I saw this today. I usually like to open the program if there's not horrific news coming from actions by the Republicans, and there is. But this little story kind of tops it. From Garden Grove, California, you all have heard of Robert Schuller's Crystal Cathedral. Crystal Cathedral. Crystal Cathedral. Oh, my God. Well, a man shot and killed himself inside Schuller's Crystal Cathedral. The senior pastor there says a long-haired man walked into the building, handed a note and his driver's license to two ushers, walked to the cross, and then shot himself in the head as he appeared to be praying. He says the man seemed disturbed and that the ushers called 911 before the shooting. Seven or eight tourists were inside the cathedral and witnessed the shooting. Well, that's something to write home to the kids about, isn't it? What a tragedy. What is it about Robert Schuller's Crystal Cathedral that made this guy go in there and kill himself? Did he think that that was the gateway to heaven? Who knows? All right, our usual missive from Prairie 2, our economic correspondent, who writes, there's a bear in the woods, but let him eat cake. Ooh, a sentence with hidden meanings. We'll parse that later. Prairie 2 writes, some Republican strategies for fixing the economy that they, of course, broke. Don't help homeowners refinance. Just let the crisis burn itself out like a forest fire. Now, if they go out in the woods with that attitude, there's a certain bear that will smack them upside the head with a shovel. One in nine houses across the country is now standing empty. In some subdivisions, most houses are empty. At some point, the dilapidated houses with unmowed grass and brush will result in uncontrolled urban firestorms. But we can just let them burn out like forest fires. Next idea from the Republicans, lower corporate taxes. Oh, yeah, that always works. Before the crash, only a third of corporations were paying any taxes. Now there will be few companies outside the oil business that will pay any taxes. You see, the three Republican senators insisted on adding a provision to the jobs bill to allow for accelerated depreciation on equipment. This tax break only benefits companies who pay taxes. That would be the oil companies. Next, take advantage of China's misfortune of being caught up in our Great Depression by offering them a free trade agreement. The logic being that with 20% of their factories closed and wages cut in half, they would be amenable to allowing us unfettered access to Chinese markets. Even if they were that stupid, the problem is, of course, we have nothing to sell them. Even the high-tech sector is now showing a trade deficit as China makes more and more of its needs and we make less and less of ours. And finally, don't have the government spend any money to fix the economy because this has never worked in the past. FDR got elected to 4 terms. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the prosperity he created was so enduring that it took the Republicans until now to destroy it. Louis XVI didn't believe in spending any money to fix the economy. His reign for life was shortened. Prairie 2. Now, remember, as we get into some of these topics tonight, the head of the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh, wants to see Obama fail, wants to see everything fail, and wants to see the country fail. He wants to wallow in his money while the rest of America struggles to make ends meet. Rush Limbaugh dictates to these rat bastards in Congress, and I mean, you know, he's a powerful man, is, Rush Limbaugh. He has lots of influence. Someday he's going to choke to death on his own throat fat, but in the meantime, he has a lot of power. A lot of power. Yeah, he was able to order his own housekeeper to go out and score drugs for him.
Why does Malloy keep saying that?
Because it's the truth. Anyway, the head of the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh, wants to see Obama and the nation fail. So keep that in mind as we go through some of these topics tonight. The nutcase conservative Christian leader Pat Robertson. This is how weird Limbaugh really is. Okay, this is how sick the large bastard really is. Pat Robertson has denounced him for saying he wants Obama to fail. He was interviewed by Dan Gilgoff, and he said, Gilgoff said, so you don't subscribe to Rush Limbaugh's I hope he fails school of thought? Robertson responded, that was a terrible thing to say. I mean, he's the president of all the country. If he succeeds, the country succeeds. And if he doesn't, it hurts us all. Anybody who would pull against our president is not exactly thinking rationally. End quote. Really? Pat Robertson calls the pig man irrational. When you sink to the level where a Christian terrorist, a freak who said that the reason we were attacked on 9/11 is because God withdrew his veil of protection. And why was that? Because, you know, the queers want to get married. When you have a freak who is insane to the level that he is too, that Pat Robertson is, declare Rush Limbaugh to be irrational. Oh, oh my God. Have at it, boys. Have at it. Be careful, fat man, or Robertson will withdraw your pass into heaven. What a bunch of jerks. You see, after the election, Robertson pronounced himself remarkably pleased with Obama and not so happy with President Bush. Oh, my God. Oh, well. So Pat Robertson, probably one of the most serious destroyers of Christianity as practiced by Jesus Christ or advocated by Jesus Christ, has now declared Rush Limbaugh irrational. Son of a bitch, we live in weird times, don't we? Paul writes in, Mike, your comments on wanting the Republican Party to be executed and Rush to gag on his own throat fat are all over the blogosphere. Instead of asking, I took your advice and searched for information on Randy Rhodes. In the process, I determined there's a lot of crap out there about what is happening at NOBAM. While I was searching, I found you have a very large following on the right. Their vitriol toward you is so caustic, it's amazing. It's surprising how many people believe Rush and Sean and all the rest. They are quite reasonable and articulate in their own right. The information they use is all polluted, so how can you blame them? The part I like is how they shut down any emotion from the liberals by saying, oh, they're just all angry. They spew out anger like you wouldn't believe, and in the same breath claim the moral high ground because liberals are so angry. They are definitely winning the rhetoric war. The one thread that stands out goes like this. Treason? Treason? How could anything Rush says even begin to compare with what the left did to Bush for 8 years? Compared to that, there's no treason! When it comes to thoughts and ideas like these, I just don't see how we could reason with them. Even another civil war wouldn't change their minds. It would just make the survivors even more hardcore. Paul. Yeah, I did a Google on Malloy plus sign Limbaugh. Holy jumping Jesus. Well, to all you right-wing brain-dead halfwits, hey, thanks for listening. Keep getting the word out. All of you, get the word out! Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Uh-oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. For the people who give a damn about what I say about the Republican Party being murdered, of course it needs to be murdered. It needs to be ended. It is a force for destruction in this country unlike anything that's ever been domestic. It really is. The commies, the spies sent by the Germans, the freaks, even Limbaugh, the head of the Republican Party, is not as damaging as these Republican office holders. Here's some evidence. The California Republicans threw out their own leader in order to derail a state budget settlement. Take a look at California. It is sinking. It is going away. They have a Republican governor. How's it feel, Arnie? Huh? You didn't think it'd be like this, did you, pal? Huh? But as reported by the AP, a delicate budget fix crafted by Schwarzenegger and legislative leaders is on the brink of collapse today after Republicans in the Senate ousted their own leader. The late-night coup could derail already strained budget talks by requiring them to renegotiate with a new Republican leader. Because, you see, the current package contains billions in tax hikes, spending cuts, and borrowing. And it took leaders more than 3 months to put together this whole thing as the state tries to pass a mid-year budget fix and avoid fiscal calamity. Lawmakers viewed the leadership change as a major setback after they fell short by just one Republican vote. And Democratic leader Daryl Steinberg said he didn't want to speculate what it would mean for the package. Steinberg said, "We're after one reasonable person who puts California first." If you mean Republican, Mr. Steinberg, are you serious? Republicans hate America, and Jesus God, they hate California. Oh! As Steve Bannon, writing at Washington Monthly, put it, the leader of the Republican caucus in the state Senate, California, backed a compromise measure that would have resolved the budget crisis. So naturally, the Republican caucus in the state Senate voted to kick their leader out of his post and rally behind someone less reasonable. Why, of course, that's what Republicans do. They're psychopaths. Keep in mind, policymakers in California worked for months to put the package together. As Paul Krugman recently noted in one of his columns, Truth Seeker, he said, quote, everyone should be paying attention to the political and fiscal catastrophe now unfolding in California. Years of neglect followed by economic disaster with all the reasonable responses blocked by a fanatical, irrational minority. Oh, my God! Pat Robertson said they're irrational. Now Krugman does. Wow! Krugman winds up by saying, this could be America next, end quote. Oh, my God. Yeah, Republicans. And as Steve Bannon at Washington Monthly writes, as Scott Lemieux explained, it's not just unhinged Republicans acting irresponsibly. It's also a supermajority mandate for tax increases that give irresponsible Republicans the power to shut down the process in the first place. You see, for any tax increase, a penny, a half cent, Californians, in one of those crazed referenda years ago, I believe it was through a referendum process, they said that the state needs, what is it, two-thirds majority in order in order to have a tax increase. All right, California, suck it up. This is what you get. These are the fruits of listening to this murderous Rush Limbaugh and these crazed Republicans. Here you go. Your state is about to die. God damn, I've been to California. I like California. I would imagine the people that live there like it. But because of these referendums, these laws that are passed because anti-tax people or anti-gay people or anti-whatever people spend millions. Where does it come from? From the deep pockets of these Republican vermin. And they put these ballot initiatives. And the bobbleheads go, yup, 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 I don't want any more taxes, yup, yup, yup. I want my libraries closed. I want my roads to fall apart. I want the bridges to fall apart. I don't want any Medicaid, no welfare, no relief. Yup, yup, I love this. Yup, 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 this is what I want. No jobs. I want industry to leave. I want everything to collapse. Yup, yup. Goddamn, Rush, how am I doing? As Kevin Drum concluded, so it's back to square one with the flat earthers determined to wreck the state. A friend of mine emailed to say that my post the other day comparing California Republicans to lemmings and Neanderthals was unfair to both lemmings and Neanderthals. Yeah, it's just, I mean, go for it. Go for it, you psychopaths. And as far as the people in California who are dealing with this nonsense, I got to ask you, how does it feel? How does it feel to know that because of the way you voted over the years on these referendums, you're about to drown?
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Yeah, right here, right now. 25 before the hour. Has anyone in the audience, let me see some hands, have you ever heard of retired Admiral Dennis Blair? Admiral Dennis Blair. He was in D.C. last Thursday giving testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee. And part of what he had to say is the subject of our tonight's Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Well, gather around, boys and girls. It's time once again for Uncle Mike's Story Corner, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. Tonight's Uncle Mike Story Corner is brought to you by Chris Hedges, writing at Truth Dig. To wit, we have a remarkable ability to create our own monsters. A few decades of meddling in the Middle East with our Israeli doppelganger, and we get Hezbollah, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, the Iraqi resistance movement, and a resurgent Taliban. Now we trash the world economy and destroy the ecosystem and sit back to watch our handiwork. Hints of our brave new world seeped out last Thursday when Washington's new director of national intelligence, retired Admiral Dennis Blair, testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee. He warned that the deepening economic crisis posed perhaps our gravest threat to stability and national security. It could trigger, he said, a return to the, quote, violent extremism, unquote, of the 1920s and 1930s. It turns out that Wall Street, rather than Islamic Jihad, has produced our most dangerous terrorists. We will see accelerated plant and retail closures, inflation, an epidemic of bankruptcies, new rounds of foreclosures, bread lines, unemployment surpassing the levels of the Great Depression, and, as Blair fears, social unrest, upheaval. The United Nations International Labor Organization estimates that some 50 million workers will lose their jobs worldwide this year. The collapse has already seen nearly 4 million lost jobs in the United States. The International Monetary Fund's prediction for global economy growth in 2009 is 0.5%, the worst since World War II. There are 2.3 million properties in the United States that received a default notice or repossessed last year, And this number is set to rise in 2009, especially as vacant commercial real estate begins to be foreclosed. About 20,000 major global banks collapsed, were sold, or were nationalized in 2008. There are an estimated 62,000 U.S. companies expected to shut down this year. Unemployment, when you add people no longer looking for jobs and part-time workers who cannot find full-time employment, unemployment is close to 14%. And we have few tools to dig our way out. The manufacturing sector in the United States has been destroyed by globalization. Consumers, thanks to credit card companies and easy lines of credit, are now $14 trillion in debt. The government has pledged trillions toward the crisis, most of it borrowed or printed in the form of new money. It is borrowing trillions more to fund our wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and no one states the obvious. We will never be able to pay these loans back. We are supposed to somehow spend our way out of the crisis and maintain our imperial project on credit? Let our kids worry about it. There is no coherent and realistic plan, one built around our severe limitations, to stanch the bleeding or ameliorate the mounting deprivations we will suffer as citizens. Contrast this with the national security state's strategies to crush potential civil unrest here, and you get a glimpse of the future. It doesn't look good. Admiral Blair told the Senate, quote, "The primary near-term security concern of the United States is the global economic crisis and its geopolitical implications. The crisis has been ongoing for over a year, and economists are divided over whether and when we could hit bottom. Some even fear that the recession could further deepen and reach the levels of the Great Depression. Of course, all of us recall the dramatic political consequences wrought by the economic turmoil of the 20s and 30s in Europe, the instability, and high levels of violent extremism," unquote. The specter of social unrest here was raised at the U.S. Army War College in November in a monograph titled Known Unknowns, Unconventional Strategic Shocks in Defense Strategy Development. What a title. The military must be prepared, the document warned, for a, quote, violent strategic dislocation inside the United States, end quote, which could be provoked by, quote, unforeseen economic collapse, purposeful domestic resistance, pervasive public health emergencies, loss of functioning political and legal order. The widespread civil violence, the document said, would force the defense establishment to reorient priorities in extremis to defend basic domestic order and human security, end quote. It goes on to say, quote, an American government and defense establishment lulled into complacency by a long secure domestic order would be forced to rapidly divest some or most external security commitments in order to address rapidly expanding human insecurity at home. The document continued, under the most extreme circumstances, this might include use of military force against hostile groups inside the United States. Further, the Department of Defense would be, by necessity, an essential enabling hub for the continuity of political authority in a multi-state or nationwide civil conflict or disturbance, end quote. In plain English, something bureaucrats in the military seem incapable of employing, this translates into the imposition of martial law and a de facto government being run out of the Department of Defense. They are considering it. So should you. Admiral Blair warned the Senate that, quote, roughly a quarter of the countries in the world have already experienced low-level instability, such as government changes because of the current slowdown, end quote. He noted that the bulk of anti-state demonstrations internationally have been seen in Europe and the former Soviet Union, but this did not mean they could not spread to the United States. He told the senators that the collapse of the global financial system is, quote, likely to produce a wave of economic crises in emerging market nations over the next year, end quote. He added that, quote, much of Latin America, former Soviet Union states, and sub-Saharan Africa lack sufficient cash reserves, access to international aid or credit, or other coping mechanisms, end quote. He went on, quote, when those growth rates go down, my gut tells me that there are going to be problems coming out of that, and we're looking for that, end quote. He referred to statistical modeling showing that economic crises increase the risk of regime-threatening instability if they persist over a 1 or 2 year period. Blair articulated the newest narrative of fear. As the economic unraveling accelerates, we will be told it is not the bearded Islamic extremists, although those in power will drag them out of the Halloween closet when they need to give us an exotic shock, but instead, it'll be the domestic riffraff, you know, environmentalists, anarchists, unions, and enraged members of our dispossessed working class who threaten us. Crime, as it always does in times of turmoil, will grow. Those who oppose the iron fist of the state security apparatus will be lumped together in slick corporate news reports with the growing criminal underclass. The committee's Republican vice chairman, Senator Christopher Dodd of Missouri, not quite knowing what to make of Blair's testimony, said he was concerned that Blair was making the, quote, conditions in the country, end quote, and the global economic crisis, quote, the primary focus of the intelligence community, end quote. The economic collapse has exposed the stupidity of our collective faith in a free market and the absurdity of an economy based on the goals of endless growth, endless consumption, endless borrowing, and endless expansion. The ideology of unlimited growth failed to take into account the massive depletion of the world's resources, from fossil fuels to clean water, to fish stocks to erosion, as well as overpopulation, global warming, and climate change. The huge international flows of unregulated capital have wrecked the global financial system. An overvalued dollar, which will soon deflate, wild tech, stock, and housing financial bubbles, unchecked greed, the decimation of our manufacturing sector, the empowerment of an oligarchic class, the corruption of our political elite, the impoverishment of workers, a bloated military and defense budget, and unrestrained credit binges have conspired to bring us down. The financial crisis will soon become a currency crisis. This second shock will threaten our financial viability. We let the market rule. Now we're paying for it. The corporate thieves, those who insisted they be paid tens of millions of dollars because we were the best and the brightest, have been exposed as con artists. Our elected officials, along with the press, have been exposed as corrupt and spineless corporate lackeys. Our business schools and intellectual elite have been exposed as frauds. The age of the West has ended. Look to China. Laissez-faire capitalism has destroyed itself. It is time to dust off your copies of Marx. Oh, Uncle Mike is just shocked, I tell you. Tonight's Uncle Mike Story Corner, written by Chris Hedges, a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, a senior fellow at the Nation Institute. His latest book is Collateral Damage, America's War Against Iraqi Civilians. You can find this story online at alternet.org or at truthdig.org. Oh. You see, that's the reason that Prairie 2 started, what was it, Kathy, about 8 months ago, saying buy canned goods. Not that canned goods are going to prevent this, but canned goods, you know, to keep you alive a little longer. These are very strange times, thanks to these Republican swine. The Republican Party needs to be executed. Rush Limbaugh needs to choke to death on his own fat.
He's not ready to make nice. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 minutes before the hour. From Robert, hey, Mike, I work for the state of California. I've never voted for anything pushed by the bonehead Republicans or their allies. I, like most state workers, am subject to a work furlough of 2 days a month forced by the governor. That's equivalent to almost a 10% pay cut. I work around some brainless Republican state workers who, believe it or not, are cheering on their brethren blanks in the legislature. Never mind that the holdup of the GOP members hurts them as much as the rest of us. Please don't apply that all of us Californians deserve this financial crisis due to the stupidity of the electoral majority in the past. I look forward to a major rebellion in this state to oust the big heads. Robert.
Daddy, what's it gonna be like?
Well, sweetheart, for your sake, I hope it'll be all peaches and cream, but I'm afraid the end time is near. The cataclysmic apocalypse referred to in the scriptures of every holy book known to mankind. It will be an era fraught with boundless greed and corruption, where global monetary systems disintegrate, leaving brother to kill brother for a grain of overcooked rice. The nations of the civilized world will collapse under the oppressive weight of parasitic political conspiracies which remove all hope and optimism from their once faithful citizens. Around the globe, generations of polluters will be punished for their sins, unshielded by the ozone layer they have successfully depleted, left to bake in the searing naked rays of light. Wholesale assassinations serve to destabilize every remaining government, leaving the starving and wicked to fend for themselves. Bloodthirsty renegade cyborgs created by tax-dodging corporations wreak havoc. Pissed off androids tired of being slaves to a godless and gutless system where the rich get richer. Unleash total worldwide destruction by means of nuclear holocaust, annihilating the terrified masses, leaving in its torturous wake nothing but vicious, cannibalistic, mutated, radiated, and horribly disfigured hordes of satanic killers bent on revenge, but against whom there are so few left alive. Starvation reigns supreme, forcing unlucky survivors to eat anything and anyone in their path. Massive earthquakes crack the planet's crust like a hollow eggshell, causing unending volcanic eruptions. The creatures of the seven seas, unable to escape to certain death upon land, boil in their liquid prison. Disease encircles the earth. Plagues and viruses with no known cause or cure, laying waste to whatever draws breath. And humankind, having proven itself to be nothing more than a race of ruthless scavengers, fall victim to merciless attack at the hands of interplanetary alien tribes who seek to conquer our charred remains. This is extinction level event.
Wow, that's cool. I can't hardly wait.
You don't have to, because here it is. Because here it is. Because here it is. Because here it is.
Now, for everybody who's going to write and ask me for a copy of that, it's Busta Rhymes, Extinction Level Event. Just Google that. Extinction Level Event. Boy, when did that come out, Kathy? Back in the 90s? A long time ago. Oh, just, I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm glad to see that certain people in government are starting to agree with some of the points we put out on this program. California's Lieutenant Governor, John Garamendi, said the following on MSNBC the other day, quote, "I've been listening to what you had to say about Republicans in the Senate and Congress. We have an infection here, and it's a Republican infection that's really spreading across the nation. Just what do they propose to do? Shut everything down? They did that with Newt Gingrich. They seem to want to do that in California, and we're saying no way, no how. We're going to build. We're going to go with Obama." A Republican infection spreading across the country. Yeah, that's right. That's right. The Republican Party needs to be beheaded. It needs to be taken out on some dark, moonless night in the middle of a cornfield and decapitated. It has to stop. It has to stop. Republicans, conservatives, the party of Limbaugh are trying to burn this country down. And the really sad part? Limbaugh has been on the air for 20 years now, filling the airwaves with anti-American treasonous vomit. And you know what else? The bobbleheads, these poor bastard Republicans who have watched everything they own get sent overseas or disappeared, their jobs gone, their health insurance gone, everything gone, because they have listened to the pig man. And the poor bastards still listen to the pig man and will, as they draw in their last breath because they're starving to death while Limbaugh sits on his $25 million a year salary and says,
"Oh, well, that's the way it goes. You know, it's survival of the fittest. And apparently you weren't."
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. You're listening to the Malloy program. I know, we're supposed to have been ended or something. I don't know. But if you believe half-witted, brain-dead right-wing bloggers, I've got a bridge in the middle of the ocean to sell you. I've got something here from Prairie 2 that I didn't read when he sent it to me a week ago, and it's interesting. Prairie 2, since he has been contributing to this program, he's starting to become, polarizing. People who like what he has to say love what he has to say. People who don't like what he has to say hate what he has to say. You understand what I'm saying? But I find what he has to say to be worth part of this program's airtime and his honorary position as economic advisor to the program, or economic correspondent, whatever you want to call it. He wrote back on February 6th, "Toyota has posted its first annual loss since 1950 and has revised the prediction of current losses to be three times worse than they had signaled just 6 weeks ago. Similar reports from other Japanese companies are expected. The governor of Japan's central bank is warning to expect the longest recession in modern times. The lost decade of the 90s used to be Japan's low point. China is estimated to have laid off 20 million workers. Growth has fallen to zero. And this is worse than it sounds, since they should be able to sustain growth with their own pent-up domestic demand. China is still not buying American scrap paper after 6 months, despite their lack of domestic sources for paper." You know, trash. "Russia has launched a host of major military projects aimed at NATO, including new missiles and the establishment of a rapid response force on its western frontier. The Obama administration has had little to say about any of this. It's likely that this was all hammered out in the 90-minute meeting between Bill Clinton and Vladimir Putin in Davos, Switzerland, earlier this month. And the saber-rattling is just for Russian consumption to take everybody's mind off the economic crisis. Back at home, after 13 straight months of job losses, this is the longest down streak since the last depression, and the number of jobs lost continues to increase dramatically each month, officially 600,000 this month alone. 85% of the jobs lost last month were held by men, This indicates the downturn is even worse than the numbers show. It is an unfortunate reality that men dominate higher-paying full-time jobs that are economic drivers, and with the cuts concentrated there among the men, the numbers in coming months will be even worse, as these jobs typically support at least one other job in the economy. Prairie 2, I know, it's all bad news. New York Post is owned by Rupert Murdoch. I'm sure you're aware now of what these sons of bitches did. The cartoonist published drew in the New York Post, the Rupert Murdoch Post published the so-called cartoon depicting two police officers shooting a chimpanzee. And, of course, that possibly was inspired by a pet chimp that attacked a woman in Connecticut. But the artist's caption reads, "They'll have to find someone else to write the next stimulus bill," tying the chimp to Obama's recent signing of the economic recovery bill, right? If you haven't seen it, you can see it all over the net. But it really is grotesque. I mean, these two cops holding a smoking gun and a dead chimpanzee with blood splattered all over the place with a couple of holes in his chest. And, the caption, "They'll have to find someone else to write the next stimulus bill." I mean, Jesus Christ, come on. And on the page facing this, they had an article about Barack Obama signing the stimulus bill. It's just, and the New York Post, the Rupert Murdoch-owned swill that is the Post, and this freakish cartoonist, they're all saying, "Well, no, what? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?" A newsroom employee at the Post who spoke on condition of anonymity to, who's this from? Think Progress? I'm not sure. Because employees were not permitted to comment on the matter, said its newsroom received many calls, complaints on Wednesday morning after the publication of the cartoon. That was this morning. The employee said every line was lit up for several hours. The phones on the city desk have never rung like that before. End quote. Many Post staff members were dismayed by the cartoon, according to this employee. But it's if you don't think there is a full frontal, all out attack on the Obama administration by media whores like Rupert Murdoch, by scum sucking pigs, drug addicts like Rush Limbaugh, who heads the Republican Party, by these weird members of Congress who, these Republicans who, I don't know. They seem to be squatting in some parallel universe and reaching over here to destroy everything. It's incredible. But the focus of the attack is not Obama's policies so much as it is Barack Obama. And there's a number of reasons for that, not the least of which he seems to be cruising above all this garbage, kind of winking and nodding and peeing all over these Republicans who are trying to stop him and can't, no matter how hard they try. Secondly, let's face it, he's a black man. And to Republicans, the audacity of hope, that would make a good book title, the audacity of this person of color to be the president? Oh, my God! Flying on Air Force One? What? And what the dumb bastards Republicans don't realize is that Obama's trying to do the same thing FDR did 80 years ago, and that saved the stinking economic system known as capitalism. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to be saved. It really, really isn't. I don't care what you call it, but when all of a sudden the government takes over the banks, what do you call that? This freak from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, and this doddering old bastard who used to head the Federal Reserve. Well, temporary nationalization. What? Temporary nationalization? Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll tell you what, 10 years from now, let's check back and see how that's working, okay? Temporary nationalization, my sphincter muscle. It's over. And Barack Obama ought to understand that and move accordingly into democratic socialism. Or social democracy, for you right-wingers who just wet yourselves every time you hear that term. No. Oh, democratic socialism. Oh. God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The attack is against Barack Obama. His policies are under attack by the pig man who heads the Republican Party. Barack himself is under attack by the talking heads on television and the political cartoonists who work for Rupert Murdoch. And the Wall Street Journal is Rupert Murdoch. So when we have Admiral Blair, who is to be the head of national intelligence, regardless of his attitude toward certain liberation movements in Southeast Asia, when he just flat out categorically says, you know, the threat from Islamic jihadists, please, Jesus Christ, that worked for Bush for 8 years, but it was a straw man, a bloody shirt, whatever you want to call it. It was based in nonsense. It's what the Republicans used to motivate these cowardly Republicans to steal two presidential elections and then to sit back and go, yeah, anything you say, Mr. President, anything you, Rush, what do I do, Rush? Rush, what do I do? Oh God, what do, Rush? Oh, I'm about to pee myself. Rush, what do I do? Ah. Ah. Oh.
No more Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
You knocked me out off my feet. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang.
21 past the hour. Bang, 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 bang. Email from Kate T regarding that cartoon, so-called, that racist attack by News Corp, by Rupert Murdoch, on the President of the United States. Kate writes, Dear Mike, would Rupert and his friends have thought that chimp cartoon innocuous if the caption had read, Well, they're going to have to find someone else to spew their talking points now, or There's one less capitalist terrorizing the masses, or, well, you get my point. It would never have made it into the paper. The elitist media toadies must have something to distract us from the abyss, so let's put out a cartoon to talk about. Regarding this abyss that we're hanging over, our financial, governmental, healthcare, and military systems seem to be corrupted beyond belief. In my opinion, we should consider the example of a computer operating system capable of amazing feats, lightning fast, almost any information you want right there at your fingertips, but let a virus, malware, or a Trojan horse program get into the system and you can have complete lockup or loss of all data. Or the blue screen of death. The system can become hopelessly corrupted. People who spend lots of time on computers have all heard, when all else fails, reboot. It can clear the system. Not always, but it can't hurt to try. We are FUBARed. There is nothing short of a complete reboot that will save any of us from this lovingly and carefully engineered financial meltdown. Time to reboot. Time for America 2.0. But our so-called representatives are cowards or toadies. Our president, untried and altruistic. He still believes he can use this system. The military-industrial-congressional elitist complex will never let this happen. Listening to you now, it seems that one way or another we are doomed to martial law. I think I would prefer national security, Presidential Directive 51 under President Obama, to having the military in control, or Blackwater Z or KBR, I think. Then the paranoid in me pops its feeble little head up and says, but he was a corporate candidate, so why should it be any different? Take care, Kate. You really think Barack Obama was a corporate candidate? Oh, my. Well, show me one who wasn't other than Ralph Nader and Dennis Kucinich. Huh? Hillary Clinton was miles ahead of Barack Obama. Hillary Clinton is a shill for the defense weapon murder establishment, probably more so than anyone in the United States Senate. And she's from New York, for God's sake. But who else? I'm out of the crop of Republicans and Democrats that we just went through in order to try to find someone who could inspire us enough to lead us through what we have to go through now. And that turned out to be Barack Obama. Who else? Name somebody. I can't think of a soul on either side of the aisle, with the exception of Nader, and I, but no disrespect intended, but the man was too old to be president of the United States. He just was. Jesus, they talk about McCain turning 72. What was Nader turning, 77? I mean, I have great respect for age. I hope I get there. But the stresses of trying to beat these filthy, scum-eating Republicans into the ground, that does not take an old man. It takes a young man. That's why we have Barack Obama, one of the reasons we have him. Is he a corporate candidate? To a certain extent, yes. But remember where most of his money came from. Didn't it come from small contributions on the net? Weren't tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars raised that way? I think Barack Obama probably could be considered to be a corporate candidate light or corporate light candidate for a very simple reason. They probably, once he was elected, took him into the room where 8 or 10 people were there and told him, your life depends on what we're about to tell you. You think? No, that's all tinfoil hat crap, right? What a cabal of trilateralists or international bankers or what else? International Monetary Fund or Paul Wolfowitz or some of these other people setting Brock down and saying, Brock, may we call you Brock? Oh, good, because that's what we're going to call you. Listen, look up here. We've got a graph, a chart. Over here is your life expectancy if you follow exactly what we tell you to follow. Over here is your life expectancy if you don't. As you look at this, Barack, tell us, which line is the shorter? Right! I don't know. You think that happened? I'm just about ready to believe anything. I really am. We have a break coming here if we can get the music going. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Democrats strike without warning, so to your back seat in bed. Wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq and the rape of the ecology, while the treasury's being bled. Keep a bucket on your head. You won't need any eye holes, they'll just tell us what we see.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's Mike Malloy.
Slipped over the edge and drowned on the bay. don't give up that easy, no.
Too many tire tracks. It's about 25 before the hour. Phone number here, we're going to take some calls momentarily, 800-989-1480. Momentarily. Email here from Kyle in Detroit. Writes, Mike, I followed your lead and Googled your name plus Rush and was not surprised. Really. What we have in Republicans are adolescent, racist, petty class warriors. Their "I got mine" attitude had expired in most communities. People witnessed their behavior over the years, which has led to their irrelevance. Boner can have his crybaby moments as they make Stephanie Miller and yourself all the more entertaining. The rest of them, I encourage them on their self-destructive path. While their behavior is repulsive, they won't go quietly, as the New York Post demonstrated today. I'm sure I mentioned in the past about a friend I lost who's a right-wing tool in D.C. 25 years of friendship ended over his suggestion that I let him pay for my trip to the Middle East and then offered to pay for my corpse to be flown home. The same guy is now taking shots at those of us who have lost work and supported the stimulus plan, Obama, Progressive Radio, and most Democrats. This bastard accepted a Pell Grant, food stamps, loans from me when I was working, and now panders to these irresponsible Republicans. Withstanding what every American is faced with these days is going to take patience, vigilance, and adversity. Can Obama and the Democrats help? I don't know. But the other choice does not even pretend they are interested in helping at all. Yeah. Obama revealed his plan, $75 billion to stabilize the housing market, in his speech today. Where was he? He was in. I don't know where he was. Doesn't matter. He laid out how the foreclosure crisis is hurting not just responsible homeowners, but their neighbors and businesses and towns and cities and everyone dependent on those services. We have within a mile of our house here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains probably 12 bank foreclosures. He says... it's no longer, if it indeed ever was, a crisis limited to, quote, a bunch of irresponsible people who bought more home than they could afford, end quote. The houses that we see near us that are foreclosed on are just, I don't know, typical ranch houses. I mean, nothing. Houses that were built 36 years ago. They're not McMansions. They're not people who, tried to buy up to a $400,000 house. I'm talking about houses that probably were sold for $150,000. But the way they were sold, the way the predator bastards set people up for failure so that they could slice and dice the mortgages, package them up, and sell them all over the world and collapse the whole goddamn economy, everything. No, they're not a bunch of irresponsible people who bought more home than they could afford. What he's proposing here is maximizing the two federally funded, is that right, mortgage companies, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I realize they're not federally funded. They're private. I understand. Not for long. But maximizing those two mortgage companies' ability to help those whose loans they own or guarantee. And... I guess that means pumping money into those two monsters and establishing a system under which lenders and servicers will be given incentives to provide affordable loan modifications. Now, remember, this is what the pig man, this filthy Rush Limbaugh, wants to see fail. There are probably a lot of people out there who are on the verge of panic right now who are Limbaugh acolytes who would open their mouths and allow Rush to put anything in. People who have had straws stuck up their noses by Limbaugh, their brains sucked out and replaced by sawdust. There are people out there who are Limbaugh fans who are about to goddamn lose everything. Everything. And you know what? They're against this. They followed the pig man. They're going to lose their own houses, for Christ's sake. But no, no. The pig man. And the Republican Party.
Well, you know, this rescue plan, it's nothing but a fraud. Nothing but a fraud. I want you people on the street.
Obama also has a plan for modifying the bankruptcy code to allow judges in bankruptcy courts to modify loans on a primary residence.
What does that mean? Well, that means the whole mortgage industry is going to collapse. I mean, you see, the government's going in and telling financial sector what they can and can't do, and telling judges now. Jesus Christ, where are we here? This Barack Obama's a real communist.
That's what this filthy Limbaugh puts out there every day, all day long, border to border, coast to coast. People who are going to lose everything still sit there with their mouths open and their ears shut, sucking up anything Limbaugh wants to put in.
Oh, help, Rush. Talk to me, Rush. It's the liberals, right, Rush? Oh, it's left-wing talk radio, right, Rush? Oh, liberals, I hate them, Rush. Oh, save me, Rush. Save me, Rush.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy. Got to go spend my $25 million a year. I'm a star, goddammit. I'm a head of the Republican Party. When I tell these people to jump, they say, how high, Rush? Am I a drug addict? Why, hell yes. Did I make myself deaf? Hell yes. So what? I'm rich. I can do anything I want. And you people, I'll tell you, you people, you got to do what I say, you see, because I'm the pig man. You going to lose your house? Well, it's not bad living on a warm vent grate somewhere in the city. Don't worry about it. Jesus. If it gets too rough for you out there, just pop an OxyContin. You don't have any? Stop by my place. I'll send my housemate out to get it. Little joke there.
Well, I'll tell you what, you Limbaugh robots, just keep celebrating your obese Jabba the Hutt. Just keep celebrating him. As everything you own goes down the drain. Just keep saying, oh, Rush, what do I do? Rush, what do I do? Because, believe me, the fat man has turned his back on you a long time ago. He works you like a carnival barker.
Hiya, hiya, step right up. See the blind see. See the lame walk. Come on in, folks. Only 10 cents. Tenth of a dollar. See the elephant woman. See the snake lady. Ha, ha, ha. Come on in, folks.
You fools. The $75 billion plan that he unveiled today in Arizona. Was he in Mesa? Yeah, he was in high school in Mesa, Arizona, one of the hardest hit areas in the country. The plan will keep as many as 9 million Americans from losing their homes to foreclosure. 9 million Americans. That's roughly 35, 40 million citizens when you consider these are households. These are people who are in desperate straits. Obama said, in the end, all of us are paying a price for this home mortgage crisis, and all of us will pay an even steeper price if we allow this crisis to deepen. He went on to say, quote, the American dream is being tested by a home mortgage crisis that not only threatens the stability of our economy, but also the stability of families and neighborhoods. While this crisis is vast, it begins just one house and one family at a time. Well, of the nearly 52 million U.S. homeowners, it says here, with a mortgage, about 14 million, or nearly 27% owe more on their mortgage than the house is now worth. That's according to Moody's Economy.com. Another key component in this bill or this idea of Obama's, the plan, would specifically help those said to be underwater, you know, dwellings, houses whose market value has sunk below the principal still owed on the mortgage. And in the past, those kinds of mortgages in that shape have been impossible, almost impossible to refinance. But Barack Obama says this program will help 4 million to 5 million families do just that if their mortgages are owned or guaranteed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. My God. And Limbaugh, remember, Limbaugh wants this to fail. This rat son of a bitch wants this to fail. He wants everything to fail. He wants everything about Barack Obama to fail to the extent that religious psychopaths like Pat Robertson, Pat Robertson calls Limbaugh irresponsible. And what was the other word he called him, Gabby? Do you remember? I forget. You know, a freak, a moron, a lard ass. I don't know what he called him, but it was not flattering and certainly wasn't. Well, Rush Limbaugh is a man of God.
Better stand back. Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting...
10 before the hour. BJ writes, Mike, I was one of those people who almost bought into the bubble, the housing bubble. One of the reasons I considered it was that the prices were getting so out of control. I thought that if I didn't buy now, I'd never be able to afford my own house, my own home. Thank goodness I didn't or couldn't. But that was the left behind feeling I had at the time. Now I'm back to that good place of Janis Joplin fame. You know, when you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. Yeah, well. There is that, right? Now, remember, Limbaugh wants school systems to fail. Limbaugh is a murderous son of a bitch. He wants to kill the country. From the L.A. Times, the Los Angeles Unified School District faces a budget shortfall of nearly $677 million for next year. And the deficit that the state of California is dealing with, what is it, $46 billion or $42 billion? It means education cuts. But federal money coming from the Obama administration would cut that dramatically. It would pay for special ed, building repair, keeping teachers who might otherwise be laid off. The LA Times says the massive federal economic stimulus package hammered out by Congress this week, well, contains about $106 billion earmarked for education, an unprecedented expansion of federal spending for the nation's schools. District officials throughout California, bracing for another round of painful state budget cuts, were grateful for a new infusion of funds. A spokesman for the nearly 90,000 student Long Beach Unified School District, which stands to gain tens of millions of dollars over the next 2 years, said, quote, "It's one of the most exciting things we've heard in a long time. Usually it's just cuts," he said, "not additional revenue," end quote. Now, the L.A. Unified School District is the nation's second largest. It faces this massive shortfall next year and expects more cuts the following year. But the Los Angeles Unified School District is in line to receive nearly $1 billion in federal aid over that time. The Unified School District's chief financial officer said, quote, "I hope the federal government is going to come through, but it's not large enough to fill the deficits we're going to have," end quote. No, it's not large enough to fill the deficits you're going to have, but it certainly will prevent a collapse from occurring. But the pig man, this filthy, fat, encrusted bastard who sits on radio every day wants Obama to fail. He wants this to fail. He wants the mortgage bailout to fail, education to fail. He wants tax relief for the middle class to fail. And for putting this garbage out on the air, this rancid bastard makes $2 million a month. Where does the money come from? It comes from the people who syndicate him. And where do they get their money? From corporate America, who see Rush as a protection racket, just like in the old mafia days, where they would go by some poor bastard that owned a dry cleaners and say, listen, man, you know, your windows could be broken out here. My windows? Yeah, but, you know, we'll protect them for you. And, you know, it's a protection racket, and that's all Limbaugh is. That's why he is as prominent in corporate America as he is. That's why, while we in liberal talk struggle for a goddamn toehold in the radio business, this filthy pig has it made! Millions, tens of millions, give me the money! Give me the money, corporate America, I'll protect you! I'll protect you! I'll put so much garbage out there on the airwaves, these dumb bastards won't know which way to turn! Who do you mean by dumb bastards? These Republican knuckleheads! They're the easiest ones to manipulate, you know. You know why? Because I've spent 20-plus years sticking straws up their noses and in their ears and sucking out their brains. And it was good. You know what I filled in there? Dirt. Yeah. It's not just the new head of national security that is warning about the trouble coming. The head of the International Monetary Fund, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, during a speech in Madrid the other day, warned that advanced nations will be hit by violent civil unrest if the elite continue to restructure the economy around their own interests while looting the taxpayer. This is what Limbaugh promotes. Loot the taxpayer, make him look like a goddamn fool, like an idiot, especially the Republicans, because they're the ones that say, help me, Rush, help me, what do I do? And the pig man just sits there and abuses them constantly. During a speech in Madrid, Dominique Strauss-Kahn said that, quote, social unrest may happen in many countries, including advanced economies, if governments fail to adequately respond to this financial crisis. Riots and demonstrations have gripped normally sedate Iceland following a financial catastrophe. Expectations of violent civil unrest have not gone unnoticed by the U.S. Army War College Strategic Institute. Right? We just talked about that. Huh? Tens of thousands of active duty military personnel returning from Afghanistan and Iraq are set to conduct, quote, homeland patrols, unquote, inside the U.S. And their duties will include tackling, quote, civil unrest and crowd control, end quote, according to a NORTHCOM announcement earlier this year. This is at PrisonPlanet.com, Paul Joseph Watson's site, PrisonPlanet.com. All right, break here. We'll be back. Stick around. We're going to take some phone calls. The number is 800-989-1480. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back, 7 past the hour. There are probably 8 or 10 books that I've read over the course of my life. Oh, by the way, it's Mike Malloy. On the, what are we called now? Huh? On Second Thought Radio Network. There are probably 8 or 10 books that I read as a young person, teenager, early 20s growing up, that had a profound effect on how I think. You know, Catcher in the Rye in 1984 and Animal Farm. The autobiography of Malcolm X was one of those 8 or 10. I just, once I started reading that, I couldn't put it down. Detroit Red, who went on to become Malcolm X. Astonishingly, what am I trying to say? There's nothing I can say about Malcolm X except that, you know, what he was about and what his life consisted of, to me, was profound. It was an American story, strictly an American story. But his insights, to me, were just, they had just a clear, powerful effect on this old white boy from Toledo, Ohio. So I get this email from VK. Hello, Mike. As you know, this is Black History Month. One of my favorite black heroes said this 40 or 50 years ago. Funny, he ended up assassinated only when he started meddling in U.S. foreign policy. I think the man hit the nail on the head. The chickens have come home to roost. Here's the quote. It is impossible for capitalism to survive, primarily because the system of capitalism needs blood to suck. Capitalism used to be like an eagle, but now it's more like a vulture. It used to be strong enough to go and suck anybody's blood, whether they were strong or not, but now it has become more cowardly, like the vulture, and it can only suck the blood of the helpless. As the nations of the world free themselves, capitalism has fewer victims, fewer to suck, and it becomes weaker and weaker. It's only a matter of time, in my opinion, before it will collapse completely. Oh, Vince sent that in. Yeah, there's so many things that most white Americans growing up were warned to stay away from, or just by virtue of not being in the high school curriculum, and in some instances not even in the college curriculum until a certain point in our history. So much stuff that should be revisited now and read now that we've been here and done this, now that we have seen what has happened. And Autobiography of Malcolm X is one of those books. Go to your local bookstore. Buy the damn thing. What could it cost? $2? Come on. You can do this. Get the paperback. Read this man's life history. Do it.
Oh, but Mike, you was a black Muslim.
Really? No kidding. Read the book. Oh, I'm not trying to sound like I'm dictating your reading list to you. But again, I'm sure we all can put together a list of 8 or 10 books, maybe more, but I mean, if you really had to pare it down, say to 10, that had the most powerful effect on your worldview, you could probably do it. I don't know what your list would be, and I'm not really sure what all 10 of mine would be, but Autobiography of Malcolm X is right in there. Right in there. Slaughterhouse 5. That's another one. So anyway. Moving on. Do we have phone calls? We do indeed. Let us start with Hack, calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on Sirius. Hey, Hack.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
You are.
Oh, good. Well, I'll tell you what. Any doubt I may have had in my mind as to whether or not Republicans hate America pretty much vanished when I heard about the Post cartoon.
Oh, isn't that something? I mean... Well, yeah, really.
I hope the Secret Service crawls up Rupert Murdoch's ass with a microscope.
Never happened. Never happened. Rupert Murdoch is one of those people, Hack. He is protected. He is part of the power establishment. He You know, he owns the Wall Street Journal now, for God's sake. Rupert Murdoch is like Rush Limbaugh. These people live in a place where normal people, A, couldn't go, B, wouldn't want to go if they ever got there, because it is a kind of perverse hell that most of us can only imagine. These people are destroyers. They're absolute destroyers.
While you were talking about formative books, one of the audiobooks that I got early in my trucking career, I got it on audiobook. Have you ever read Rush Limbaugh's A Big Fat Idiot by Al Franken?
Al Franken? Oh, yeah, yeah. Years ago when he put it out, yeah.
You'd never believe he was poor. The way he talks now, you'd never believe he was poor. You'd never believe that he ran up his credit cards on junk food when he was broke in Kansas City and got food stamps and this, that, and the other.
Right. Rush Limbaugh is a fraud beyond belief, Hack. And the thing that irritates me the most, you know, I think anybody should be able to say anything in the United States. I really do. I mean, we got the First Amendment. There should be no laws against even a nutcase like Limbaugh. But what bothers me is his total, complete anti-American stance, his obvious hatred of the working classes. He doesn't give a damn about working class Republicans any more than he gives a damn about anything except how many cheeseburgers he's going to have for his next lunch and where he can spend his money to travel to the Dominican Republic with his Viagra to do what?
and have you ever noticed that the right wing pretty much to a man talks up the war on terror, and yet I don't know any of the right wing talkers that have ever donned a uniform.
No, they haven't. They're cowards. All Republicans in positions of power are cowards.
Oh, it goes beyond cowardice. I would put it beyond cowardice. I would call it downright vaginality.
All right, Hack, you got away with words, pal, but you're skating real close to the edge of what I can allow.
I would love to go on the. I've always wanted to go on the radio.
You got a good voice for it. What do you do now? You drive a truck?
Yes, drive a truck.
Let me tell you something, pal. You don't want to get into talk radio if you're looking for job security. Trust me.
No doubt.
It's kind of like the trucking business.
Goebbels would have so appreciated Fox News.
Indeed, he would have. It's exactly out of the Goebbels playbook. It's right there. All right, Hack. Oh. I gotta go, man. Thank you so much. Take it easy on the road, okay?
Bo News, we distort. You comply.
There you go. All right, Hack. Talk to you later. I love that guy. All the folks that drive over the road trucks who tune into this program. I mean, it just it's good to know that. And you know what? I think you know we're a nation of stereotypes. God, do we love to stereotype, don't we? Huh? Lord, we love to stereotype. And that idea of the truckers being, you know, whatever the stereotype is, certainly right-wingers and Republicans and conservatives and yada, yada, yada. And what a lot of Americans don't realize, there's an awful lot of liberal, armed, like me, liberals out there who drive trucks, progressives, people who think the Republican Party is the spawn of Satan. And the thing is, you know, we're all fairly well armed, and I'll tell you, man, when the time comes, it's going to be interesting.
Mama me. I got a 008 Tina Martin guitar in the backseat of the car. Hey, I am leaving Mississippi
loud, proud, progressive talk. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. I read something today about there are certain state governors now, South Carolina being one, several states in the South, where the governors have said, we're not going to take that money. You know, there are also several states where Republicans who voted against it are taking credit for it. But the ones that are intriguing to me, this all ties together, are these dumb bastards who are saying that their state is not going to participate in the recovery plan. Now, it remains to be seen. They would rather see their state collapse. Now, here's the thing about the civil unrest at the head of the IMF and the head of American security, people as diverse as that are predicting. You don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. But the interesting thing is this unrest, when it hits, is going to hit in those states. Well, think about it. Of course it's going to come there. One of the first states to collapse into anarchy and murderous repression is going to be a state like South Carolina, where the governor says, no, we ain't taking none of that. Really? So what do you do when your schools close and your health care program collapses and your university system fails? And, you know, all that stuff, the mortgage foreclosure rate in your pissanny little state triples or quadruples. What are you going to do, Mr. South Carolina governor, when all of a sudden you have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of the residents of your tired, sad state who all of a sudden see everything collapsing? What are you going to do, pal, huh? Especially when it dawns on these bobbleheads finally that Rush Limbaugh wants them dead, and they're going to realize, oh my God, my governor said no to the only chance I have of rescuing my family. And then you know what's going to happen? Right. That's going to happen. Exactly what Mr. Blair and the head of the IMF are predicting. Now, while the governor of South Carolina has no problem saying, I ain't taking that money, the son of a bitch would be the first to call out the National Guard to fire on citizens of South Carolina, especially if they showed up out in front of the governor's mansion in Columbia demanding some kind of explanation as to why the governor of South Carolina said, no, here in my state, we want to starve to death and die because we don't have health insurance, we don't have medicines, the state can't buy any, provide any vaccines, we're shutting everything down. No, we want it that way. Ho, 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 ho. What do you think is going to happen? Well, you're absolutely right. Do you think at that point the citizens of South Carolina are going to say, no, we want more corporate tax cuts? You think? So to the governors who are deciding this, okay. I wonder if they realize, and apparently they don't, because they figure that their populations have been so beaten down by the economy the Republicans have given us, and Limbaugh and his filthy comrades on talk radio, and the governors of these states are, I mean, obviously, what the hell? What else could it be? They figure, well, you know, our people have been so slammed to the ground. These fools don't have any energy left to rise up. I'm safe here. I'm safe here. Besides, Jesus is on my side, and the queers can't get married, so we're okay. Really? Well, if the bobbleheads ever put together 2 + 2 and realize that for 20 years, Limbaugh has been telling them that 2 + 2 is 3, and they bought it, And all of a sudden, they realize that 2 plus 2 is not 3. It's really 4. And there's going to be this blinding flash of realization. And then all hell is going to break loose. So when these diverse people, like the head of the IMF or the head of a national security establishment, when they offer up their point of view about internal chaos in countries, even so-called first world or developed countries, that would be us. When they talk about this, who do you think they are referring to who will be the first to lead this kind of internal civil disorder? It'll be the people that have swallowed the Limbaugh Kool-Aid and the filth put out by people like the governor of South Carolina. Because I don't think those people are just going to say, yep, well, I'm willing to sacrifice my children, my spouse, my job, my home. I'm really willing to continue to sacrifice it as Limbaugh has instructed me to do so that corporate America gets more tax breaks. Are you kidding me?
Is the outrage. Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour, let's go back to your phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. David is calling from Little Canada. What the hell is that? Hello, David.
Oh, Little Canada's in Minnesota, man.
Oh, Little, it's a city?
It is a city right outside of the capital city of St. Paul.
And it's called Little Canada, Minnesota.
Yeah, well, apparently we're socialists here. No, I'm just playing, man. We're not.
Okay, I never heard of Little Canada.
Well, you know, don't feel bad. Apparently, a lot of people in Minnesota haven't heard of it either.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got you. Okay.
Well, basically, what I wanted to mention is, you know, see, I love that you mentioned the pig man, and the reason why I do is, see, people sit there and they go, you know, you liberals get obsessed with Rush Limbaugh because he's successful and you're not. No, we get upset because of why he's successful. And it's because he preys on ignorant people like you. I've never begrudged anyone making money. Mm-hmm. You know, A-Rod wants to make $30 million a year. That's his business. That's fine. What really kills me about it is that people can't see the fact this guy's a fraud. You know how you joked and said, you know, he'll tell you 2 plus 2 is 3?
Right.
Well, the people who believed it was 4 believed it was 4 until he said, you know, the liberal teachers in the public schools want you to believe it's 4, but it's really not.
Right. Right.
And they go, oh, okay, that makes sense. And you know how you talk about he wanted people to fail? I actually wanted Obama to fail. What I found really funny about that was when I saw the interview with Hannity, that's when he said that.
Right.
I actually gave him some credit because if somebody asked me if I wanted Bush to succeed and I knew that he was going to do what he did, I'd say no too.
Right.
But here's the problem with what Rush did. If you saw the way he answered that question,
I didn't.
You want him to fail? He goes, oh, I'm so glad he asked me that question. As if he was just proud to say it.
Yeah,
this man takes our country.
You know what never fails to amaze me? I used to get emails, and I may still do it. I have a filter system that weeds out an awful lot of garbage that comes in here because I'm just sick of reading it. But I used to get emails from people who they were mostly men, if not all men, white men.
Yeah.
And they would say, well, you know, you're not a success. Rush Limbaugh makes $50 million a year, and look at you. Rush Limbaugh's on 700 stations. You're only on, what are you on, one? You know, and I used to I just sit there and giggle and laugh and think, you poor, miserable bastard.
Because they equate money to success. Look,
well,
at,
right,
wanna,
right.
No, you don't want to equate money to intelligence. If
well, they don't,
the case,
and the hell of
the
it
case,
is.
I guess Anna Nicole Smith is not Margaret Thatcher.
The hell
you know
of
what
it
I'm
is.
Saying? If that's the case, Flavor Flav is Frederick Douglass.
There you go. The hell of it is, these people who write me this garbage, they're not making any money, but somehow,
exactly.
somehow Limbaugh has convinced them mm-hmm. that he's making $25 million a year, mm-hmm. and these poor white boys out here who don't have a clue, making nothing, losing their homes, losing everything, that somehow Limbaugh speaks for them.
And here's the best part. Limbaugh, and by the way, he's very openly racist, and I guess his
sure
listeners are too. That's probably why they don't care. This man said, blacks are 13% of the country. They're a small percentage. Who cares what they think?
You do a pretty
and
good...
And not even just that. Oh, the Katrina situation. See, the Katrina situation, oh, this was just a buffet for the right-wing talk radio.
Right.
You go, oh, who? Why are we feeling sorry? These people, they've been run by liberals for 40 years, which is not true. They were all on welfare. They wanted to live off us. On welfare? Okay, get this. The New Orleans area, at least the lower Ninth Ward, the mainly black populated area,
right.
71% employment. 8% on welfare, and the rest were dependents who lived off the people, you know, children, things like that.
Right, right.
People who are heavily poor are usually not on welfare. In fact, they get paid poverty wages, and they have more than one job.
That's right.
Most of the actual welfare is not in New Orleans or even in the South. Well, it is in the South, but not in New Orleans.
That's
but
right.
they assume they equate black with welfare, and they that idiot listeners will believe it.
Well,
if you ever talk to a Rush Limbaugh listener and they try to justify it, he's looking like you sorry, poor Seth. Look at what he's done to you. Look what he's done to America. The reason why I get so angry at him, because the man is powerful. He had a congressman apologizing to him.
Sure. Oh well, it didn't count. It was some half-ass from Georgia.
From Georgia, too.
From
it?
Georgia, yeah. Just,
yeah,
just,
so you
just,
know because you're in Georgia.
Just
but
some
it's just like, it's like, I hate him because look what he's done to America. Look how he's hurt us. This man doesn't care about anyone. When Barack Obama went to go visit his grandmother,
right.
he said she probably just has the sniffles.
Right.
What kind of sick, demented human being says that?
Well, you just answered your own question. He's a sick, demented human being.
Exactly.
You know.
And people listen to him. You know, I get these moderate conservatives to say, well, you know, I don't agree with everything Rush says. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? You agree with enough of what he says to listen to him on a daily basis.
Right. Well, if anybody in this country is on welfare, it's Rush Limbaugh. He is. But he's got the big food stamps. He's got the food stamps that come from corporate America. He's got the food stamps so he can stuff his gullet with lobsters and steaks and pigs and animals and, you know, moo, moo, bah, 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 you know, just stuff them down his throat. And eventually, he's going to be like Cass Elliot from the Mamas and the Papas. He's going to wake up some morning choking to death over some piece of pork fat that's stuck in his throat. And that's going to be the end of it. And America will be a greater place.
And three failed marriages, and he wants to talk about John Edwards cheating on his wife.
Three failed
marriages. Dude, you make millions of dollars a year. You couldn't have gotten one out of three women to stay with you?
Well.
You got to be kidding me. And then on top of that, by the way, you know how he always talks about the liberal media?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you honestly think the media is liberal?
Well,
never has been, never will be.
Hey,
They've
David.
Never been liberal.
David, let me just, I got to go, but let me tell you something. You do a great Limbaugh impression.
Oh, you know what's funny? I actually work on my Limbaugh impression. I work on it because it's such a – the funny thing about it is the guy sounds like he has fat stuck in his throat, and that's probably what it is. You know, it's really not that hard to do.
Well,
you got to sound like a fat cat white guy. It's not hard.
No, it's not. But you do a good one. You do.
Thank you, man.
You do
thank
a lot
you.
Better one than I do. But anyway, all right,
man.
David, stay in touch. I got to go.
I will. Thanks, Mike. Bye.
All right, man. Take care. Take care. Little Canada, Minnesota. That's pretty interesting. Thanks, David.
You know, I wanted to get on Rush Limbaugh's program, and he just never called me out in Wasilla. I waited by the phone for days and days, but maybe I'll get lucky. Maybe he'll call me tonight.
Yeah, maybe he will. But then again, you know, another thing that Limbaugh just loves is homeless people because it gives him lots of material to make jokes. The first time I heard Limbaugh ever pee all over homeless people. It must be nice, really, if you're a sick pervert, to make so much money and be so well ensconced in corporate America's back pocket and vice versa that you can mock people who are really genuinely hurting. It must be just a real thrill for a pervert to do that. And that's what Limbaugh does. In the current issue, well, not the current issue, but February 9th issue of The Nation, within an article called Hope for the Homeless, they're talking about, among other things, Cleveland's public school system. And they started a new semester with a troubling piece of data. The number of students who had been homeless at some point during the school year had jumped to 1,728. These are kids. Compared with the same date in 2006, this number represented a spike of nearly 150%. And obviously it serves as further confirmation that for all the whining from these Wall Street pigs that the poor and vulnerable have been hardest hit by this failing economy. And of course, Limbaugh loves that. He loves to see reports of homeless people because the son of a bitch, I mean, that's what he uses for his comedy routines. In San Bernardino, California, for example, the city unified school district counted roughly one-third more homeless students in 2007-2008 school year than in the previous one. Part of what the writers at The Nation call a stomach-churning trend that has pushed the number of homeless students in the state of California past 250,000, according to local officials. In Boston, the number of families without homes shot up 22%. And in New York City, which shelters an astonishing 36,000 homeless people each night, including nearly 16,000 kids, the number of newly homeless families entering the shelter system hit an all-time high this past autumn, with the influx in November being 44% higher than the previous year. And along the way, the total number of homeless families bedding down each night in shelters topped 9,700 families, the highest number since New York City began keeping records more than 25 years ago. And Limbaugh loves this. He loves it. The more suffering, it just makes him feel that much better. But listen to him. Listen to the rat bastard talk. Listen to what he has to say. He's just such a pig. Hope for the Homeless is the article in The Nation. Oh, well. All right, we have a break here. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Thanks to our usual crew. Ian Huff, who engineered the program, answered your calls. Ben Birch, our technical advisor. Sharon Gordy, who handles military affairs for us, and ethics and advice in that particular area are taken care of by Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. Our economic correspondent is Bruce Enberg. And Catherine Bay is the executive producer. I'm still having problems with what Chris Hedges wrote at Truth Dig about Wall Street disaster has spawned our greatest terrorist threat internally. That means very simply put, that the financial services industry bastards who did this to us while they enriched themselves. Isn't this right out of the Marx playbook, isn't it? Huh? Isn't it? These capitalist thugs who did this to us have now become the greatest threat of internal unrest, civil disorder, uprisings, possible. You know, forget the Al-Qaeda, you know, this invention of the Bush crime family. Forget that. Forget Osama bin Laden. Forget it all. We've had how many years? 8 years to try to track down the person that Bush and Cheney and these other slime balls said organized the attack on this country on September 11, 2001. 8 years almost. Forget it. That was a diversionary tactic. Who doesn't understand that now in this guy? Well, of course, Limbaugh's brain-dead listeners don't understand it. The pig man himself, he understands it. He's part of it. He's part of the plot.
Yeah, we'll tell him about, you know, terrorists over in Afghanistan and Iraq and Korea. And Iran. While we rob the sons of bitches blind. And make them thank us for it, too.
But when you have Admiral Dennis Blair, the new head of National Intelligence, telling the Senate Foreign Intelligence Committee that the greatest threat is the deepening, to us, is the deepening economic crisis. Our gravest threat to stability and national security. You know, and it just calls to mind George W. Bush's legacy? Jesus God! Bush and Limbaugh and Cheney and the hoe from Wasilla and Scooter Libby should all be chained together. And then just, you know, leave them free, but chain them together. And that's the way they'd have to live the rest of their lives, all chained together. Wouldn't it be fun when one of them had to have a bowel movement? Oh, God. But it is unnerving to hear Admiral Dennis Blair, retired Admiral Dennis Blair, talk about what is the gravest threat to the United States right now. Oh, man. John is calling from Indianapolis. John, welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm a Republican, and...
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I believe in our freedom of...
What freedom? The freedom to go hungry? The freedom to croak?
Who's going hungry?
Oh, you're not.
If you're going hungry, you're not working. No, I'm not. I'm an owner-operator of my own truck. I run my own small business.
Yeah,
and you're doing very fine.
You're okay, and you don't give a goddamn about anybody else, do you? Huh? Right?
No,
I'm okay, Jack.
No,
I don't care. I'm a Republican. I don't care. Go away, John, please. I don't want to hear anything you have to say. I really don't. I just don't. You know, I have rescinded the standing invitation I've had to right-wing idiots to call this program. I don't want you people anywhere near the program. I really don't. I mean, if you want to listen and play with yourselves because it turns you on, go ahead. But as far as calling this program, do me a favor. Don't. All right? I can't tolerate that kind of self-destructive of attitude. I'm a Republican. Oh, really? Are you also suicidal? What?
I'm okay. I'm an independent truck driver.
Oh, good for you. I'm sure everything is just going to be peachy keen. What happens when you no longer have anything to truck drive? Huh? What happens then? So do me a favor, Republican dirt balls. Don't call me anymore. I swear to God, just don't. I'm tired of your ignorance. I'm tired of how you've been complicit in the destruction of my country. I really am sick of it, okay? I'm not going to debate you because none of you can speak anywhere near coherently. You all have had your brains sucked out through your noses by Rush Limbaugh. There's no reason for you to call this program. Go listen to Hannity. Let him or Limbaugh, let them continue to lull you into your own destruction. All right? But don't come here. Please, do me a favor. Right? You don't like liberals anyway. So go away. Go away. Don't call me. Ever. It's bad enough when some of your slimy emails get through my filter. It really is. But, you know, I can handle that. I just don't want to hear your voices. I'll see you tomorrow night, normal people. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.